So I was thinking about this, the run from last week that we were stumped by, where he tries to argue for the result of the Baal Gaiva becoming lower from two sources. He argues, one, that it's just the right thing, mida keneged mida, right? That's just the derech of the mida of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mida keneged mida. And then he says also, there's a certain idea in teva, and that is that's consistent with the theme of this drasha. Learning out ideas that are there to people from Teva. So from Teva he has two arguments. He says one is that that a thing is kept in its place and is destroyed out of its place. Right? The thing is Nishma, the Mokum Hanachoso, Hativi. It's kept, it's preserved in its natural place. Right? And if it's out of its natural place, it becomes destroyed. And then his second argument, okay, that we can sort of understand. I mean, it has a certain appeal. But the second argument was incomprehensible. And that was that there's an idea in nature of the El Yonim Utodim Lekabel Hashvelos, that the higher elements are set to receive the lower. Velios Tachtonim Utodim Lizromim, and the lower ones are set to be elevated. Right? First of all, we just had difficulty understanding what it meant. What the natural process he's describing is. Right? But I think that became clear. And that's his example of the steam. Right? One second. So the steam, for instance, at the risk of alienating you completely, the steam is what? What's the steam? The aid. The steam is that the steam is a combination of the water and the avir, let's say. Just to be simple. The water and the air. Okay? So which is the lower element?
Water.
The water. The water is considered the lower element because its place is lower. Right? Earth is the lowest, then water, then air, then fire. Okay? So how does it work? How does steam... How is steam created? So he's saying the water takes in the air. Okay? And through it, it rises. Correct? And then eventually they separate and the water falls back down. But what is that process? That's that the lower element, the water, is being mekabel. I mean, the higher element is mekabel the water. The air is mekabel the water. It receives the water. Right? Which is a lowering for the water, for the air. And the water is elevated, okay? And he goes, that's the basic idea, okay? And he says, and it should have been also that the light should have been absorbed somewhat by the water, correct? And therefore the rainbow would not be a natural phenomenon, and that was altered at the Pirsanoch. But what's that? That's his understanding of nature. That the tachton, the lower element, the more coarse element, right? That was in terms of coarseness. You can look at it in a certain scale of coarseness. Earth is the most coarse, most purely matter. Well, I don't know if it's necessarily dense in the water, but it's the most coarse, let's say. And then it gets more refinements. More refinements. Okay, water is more refined, air is more refined, and fire is the most refined. Fire is almost ethereal. So, but yet, the lower element is received by the higher one. Okay? All right? Now he gives one mushal. He gives a mushal to demonstrate this idea. What's the mushal? He says, that's the mushal of what? Of, v'samti yazachak afar haaretz. Right? That's the mushal of the bracha to Avram, that his progeny will be like the dust of the earth. Doesn't sound it's a funny kind of a bracha to be like the dust of the earth, right? So he says that the Ramban explains this in this derech. What's the explanation? By the way, he says he doesn't know where the Ramban says this in the footnote, but the Ramban holds like he says that what's the mashal? The mashal is like this. Your people, your nation, your seed will be like dirt. Like the dirt. How? Shakol yidrichu olav. Everybody tramples on dirt. Right? Gets no respect. Uvachrona ya'alehu al dorcho v'yashiveyu elav. But in the end, it rises above the trampler and returns it to it. Okay? That exactly is what it holds. That summarizes the idea. That what? That the dirt is the lower one, but it eventually receives the higher one. Vimateva, one second. Vimtera yitzir chiev sheosam shehem elyonim betivam v'atzmam yanutzchu v'yashuvu shvelim. So if that's the way nature is, that the higher ones will naturally be defeated by the lower ones. This is the final step in his argument. If that's the way nature is, that by nature these things happen, right? Kol shekein sheroi zeh b'mi shemagbia atzmo b'ma she'ein roi lo sheyoshev v'shofel. Certainly this should be true here by a guy who's not roi to be higher. In other words, if in nature the higher one is defeated by the lower one, then certainly this guy who's not even roi to be over here. So it's very hard to understand the argument. So, and what's the kavachomer from the argument? I mean, the whole argument seems to fall apart under analysis because it wasn't so strong without the analysis. Because what does it do with nature? What's the argument for nature? I mean, the avir is like a balgaiva, and it's like the dirt is like an anav, and the avir gets taken over by the water because it has too much gaiva. I mean, what does this have to do? I mean, at least I can understand the first one. It's saying there's an idea of a place, and there's an idea of a reality of you and your surroundings. And okay, just like in nature, the thing exists in its surroundings and won't exist out of its surroundings, so too a person won't exist in out of his surroundings, not just physical but metaphysical. Okay, I can work. You can work with that, right? You can work with that. But what does this have to do with anything? That the higher elements are taken over by the lower elements. That has to do with gaiva, and what does it have to do with anything? And what's the kol shekein? It's just difficult to understand. I mean. Right? I think we demonstrated the difficulty in understanding it last week. Yeah, but I was thinking about it a little more. And I think the opening I mean, the way to approach the idea is if we can understand this mashal. The mashal of the Zaracha Yek Afar Arts. Everybody's going to trample on you, but in the end, you'll overtake them. So why do they get to trample on you? What kind of a thing is that? How does that work? Like, how long do they have to trample on you? Like if dirt powerful, it's not powerful. There's a time where it's really inferior, but then it becomes superior. So why? So by what virtue is it inferior, and by what virtue is it superior? I mean, how does that work? Right? How does that work? So what do you say? What do you say? What does it mean? Man gets to trample on it, but then he gets taken over. So what is it showing you? What is it teaching you? What's the cause of the trampling? What's the cause of being taken over? Where's Hill? Is that coming? Yeah, so what do you say?
Yeah, especially the taking over seems especially hard because it's not actively doing anything. It's just the bodies will return to their natural state, you know?
Right.
I mean, like the body is acting on the dirt when it tramples.
That's right. That's right. Good. So what's the key element to when the body is victorious and when the dirt is victorious? What's the key element?
Prescriptively, through an action, someone can temporarily bring about a change in something, but eventually its essential qualities will come to fruition again.
Okay, so how can he bring about the change? So let's just move the question then. So then, by virtue of what can he effectuate a change, and when must he succumb to the laws of nature?
Free will, he can effectuate a change.
But let's stick with this mushroom over here. You get to trample on dirt. You don't have to have much free will. Jeremy, with us?
I mean, the dirt doesn't have any ability to resist. Anyway, it's just, it's there, and I can't see it.
So let's just say, let's try something simple.
Okay.
when the man is acting upon the dirt, okay, then he's victorious. But when there's an interaction between the man and the dirt on an equal playing field, then the earth is victorious. In other words, as long as the earth is an object of the man's action, okay, or the subject of the man's action, then he's dorich, okay. But when there's an interaction between the two, in other words, they're each acting upon each other, then the offer is going to win. Okay? So the difference between taking the earth as an object and the man acting on it, right? That's not necessarily an interaction. An interaction is when they're each acting in the same realm. Now, man is not in the realm of the earth...
What does that mean?
Meaning to say he is... let's not get too some things you don't have to define too well because they're just basically staring you in the face. You just want to put a description on it. You want to give it a certain category. Category is that man is victorious when he is an actor and the earth is an object. But when they're both actors, the man is going to die. He's going to the goof is going to become disintegrated.
I don't see how they're both actors.
Because, in other words, let's put it this way. When the earth and the Adam are in the same realm, meaning to say they're both inanimate objects.
Oh, fine, okay.
Okay. I'm trying to be tender about this.
Unless my actual kind of fine.
Dead. then the earth will be victorious. But what does death mean? What does death mean?
Right.
Not it. It means right. Man is on the level of the earth.
Right.
Okay? As long as the man can exert some distinction, some okay. supremacy through his action, he's never when a man walks on the earth, it's not a man-earth interaction. The earth is an inanimate and the man is animate. There's no reciprocal actions going on. Right? But eventually, every man is going to succumb to becoming, to trying to fight the earth on a more organic level. And then he's going to lose. Right?
Right?
So what's the idea? So that's the chilek over here. Now what is he saying? What is he saying that you see from nature? What do you see from nature? You see one thing from nature. You see a certain idea in nature that when there's an interaction, okay, between an elyon and a tachton, the result is reversible. That's what you see from nature. That when there's an interaction between avir and mayim, for instance, when there is a real interaction, the result is always reversal. Now that's the mashal with Klal Yisrael. It's a mashal that there'll be a time when the Bnei Yisrael will be able to get out of the subjugation, and they'll be able to, the peoples will be on par, and there'll be a true interaction, and then the Jews will be victorious. Through the true interaction, they'll be victorious. They're never going to be victorious in the way of power, where one nation can trample on them. Another nation will always be able to subjugate them in as objects. Right? But that's the marshal of the offer. When there will be a day when there's a true interaction between the nations, and then Klal Yisrael will be victorious.
Right?
What does that mean,
true
interaction?
On par.
How will
Bnei Yisrael... Right now, Bnei Yisrael is not existing as a
through
nation.
Through Chachma, correct. The other people will recognize, they'll be able to talk and exchange ideas and treat them as on par, someone to learn from and someone to interact with. Not as a foreign nation to be controlled. As long as they're under that political, in that political world view, they will be trampled.
That's in psychological terms, another person relative to you is an object.
That's right.
That's what they're called, because they have a certain role. They're not,
that's
they're
right.
not really a person to you.
That's right. That's right. What can I get from this animate thing? Correct. So that's the marshal he's saying by the offer and Klal Yisrael. That's the only way we're going to be victorious. We're not going to be victorious through the victory that we anticipate is not one of subjugating the other nations, making them into dirt and trampling on them. Right? It's that they'll see what the nation of the Jewish people really is, and they'll have an honest interaction, and then naturally they'll be they'll be defeated, not defeated in the sense of annihilation, but in the sense of their philosophy. Right? It's a very nice marshal. So he's, yes.
How is it that Chachma are the coarse aspects of that mashal?
That's the Nimshal. We'll see if we can explain it a little more. We'll see. So he's saying over here, We're really going backwards in this argument. But now he's saying over here, in the basic idea of nature, I wanted to show this because now you have to, it's hard to understand what he's talking about. He's talking about interaction. That's the ikkar. That's the ikkar of what we were missing last time. He's talking about interaction. So he's saying, you see in nature, when there's an interaction, there's a reversal. Okay? Now, what's his kal vachomer, though? Right? What's the kal vachomer? So I think what he's saying is like this. I think what he's saying, and what does this whole thing of nature have to do with this guy, right? And why all of a sudden is he concerned about this? After he discusses Tzibur. Yeah. So I think what he's saying is like this. That what's the Baal Gaiva? Why is he saying all of a sudden you have to be very careful over here? Right? You have to be very careful in this area. Why do you have to be so careful? So he's saying, because if you're wrong, then it's really bad because you're going to be lowered. I mean, why is it if you're wrong, it's bad because you're saying wrong because you're just wrong? Right? The whole thing is okay. See, I don't think he's talking about a guy setting himself up to teach the tzibur. Okay? He's not talking about someone investigating ideas on his own. He's talking about someone who is melamed lefneim Torah, as he says. Roy li zoher miladaber lefneim betorah. In other words, why does he have to be careful? It's because you're setting yourself up as an authority. That's the problem here. You're setting yourself up as an authority. Now, as an authority, what type of a relationship is that? It's trampling.
Right.
No. It's a trampling. It's not an interactive relationship. You're setting yourself up over the tzibur. Okay? You're setting yourself up over the tzibur. Now he's saying that that's a dangerous thing to do if you don't have the true authority, which is knowledge. Why? So he's saying, like, you're not going to be able to stay in that place because nature won't allow you to stay in that place. You are out of the place, you will not be able to stay in that place. So what's going to happen eventually? Eventually you're going to be reduced to interaction. And we all know what happens when... Now, hold on. Now, what's the kal vachomer? What's the kal vachomer? So he's saying like this. Why is it in nature that the lower element overtakes the higher elements? Why is that?
It's more basic.
Because it's more basic. It's more basic. In other words, the higher element has some refinement. But a refinement always gives up some substantial advantage. Okay, in other words, there's a certain substantial advantage, meaning coming from being substance, right? And the refinement, you have to give up some substance. Like fire gives up all of its substance, right? It makes it into a fantastic thing, but it's not going to stop a speeding car, right? It doesn't have substance, but bricks will. So it doesn't have all the. It doesn't have everything. Plus, it has to give something up, right? It has to give something up. Now he's saying, I'm a little shaky on this part, but I think it's just important to get the main gist of it. What he's saying is that therefore in the interaction. If it's an interaction, then by definition it must be that the higher element is going to gain some of the substance of the lower element. It's going to overtake it. Because they're interacting on all their levels. Interacting on a substantial level too, it's going to have to be brought down substantially by the lower element. So it will cause a reversal.
Can you say that again?
I was trying to do it quickly, yeah? In other words, if it is an interaction, and by definition, interaction means that they are exchanged, that there is a point of contact, and exchange. Otherwise, they're not just interacting.
Right.
Then the one that has the greater substance in that realm of contact and physicality is going to have the advantage. Okay? In other words, water will weigh down the air. Okay? If they interact. Now, you don't think they interact, that's your prerogative. But if you imagine that they do interact, they can't interact and not have the water weighing down the air.
Otherwise,
they're not interacting.
Right.
Okay? I'm not talking about a bubble going through the water. I'm talking about a real interaction. Right? Yes?
That sounds like if someone actually were superior, then he'd
lose. We're not talking about people now. We're not talking about people right now. We're now talking about water and air.
Oh, okay.
Okay? So when there's an interaction, the lower is gonna weigh down the higher.
I could see how, I mean, that they would become the same level. I don't know how it'll weigh. I don't understand.
Yeah, but they'll take up from its place. Because the air should be lamalam in Mayim.
Oh, but then it'll just be.
It'll have to be lower than its normal place.
That's normal place.
Right. And the water will be a little higher than its normal place. They're gonna be in that hovering zone there, right? I don't want to get involved with the air with the fire, because the fire makes it all go up. That's not our issue right now. So right,
yeah.
And why the fire doesn't get absorbed by the water? That's a whole separate question. But let's try to stay focused. Right? Because that's all I understand. Is what very focused on that part. So yeah. So now he's saying like this. But the problem. So now he's saying like this. Oh, by the way, let me just answer one more thing. We also solved another problem, by the way, with this explanation. And the problem is, why isn't every person who even legitimately sets himself up over the tzibur doomed to be brought down? If the nature of things is that one that's higher is always destined to get lowered, so then everybody who sets himself up over the tzibur should be lowered, no matter how great he is. Even the greater, the worse.
Because
the greater he is, the higher he is. Then he's just more destined to fall. Right? That's right. So that's the answer over here.
It's
not an interaction. That's not a real interaction. It's only because this guy is a phony, he really is on the level of interaction. He thinks he's on the level of setting himself up, but he's really on the level of interaction. Right? You can always tell them. So
why does he have to interact? Why doesn't he just...
He must! It's like... It's like the water saying, no, I don't want to interact with you. You just can't. Or the air, I'm sorry. You can't. It's not what it is, and it's not.
But the person that really is intelligent,
he really is not interacting. No, he really is not interacting. He's on a different madrega. He's on a different.
I know. He's on a different madrega. So he's on a different madrega.
No, he's like a dorech. It's complete subjugation. It's like a man trampling on the earth.
And that can't be faked.
What does that mean?
It can be.
You can give the appearance of fake, but in nature it can't be fake. You can't fool nature.
It's really existing.
Oh, so
really
like even though he's superficially doing it, they mean the natural
you
way.
You can take a cadaver and move its feet over the earth, but it's still interacting with the earth.
Okay.
And it'll show. So what's the Kal Vachomer? So the Kal Vachomer is like this. That now that he's shown you that it's interaction, and in interaction there's always reversal, right? He says, now if by nature there's reversal, even when the higher element has a truly higher quality, right? He's saying, Kal Vachomer, when this guy sets himself up, which is forcing an interaction, and he doesn't have any higher quality.
He hasn't refined himself at all.
He has no refinement. If the truly refined in nature, when it interacts with the course, gets lowered, then this person who's setting himself up for a great interaction and doesn't have any of the refinement, he will certainly get trampled.
The truly refined, they are air for now, right? Since it is truly fine, but still will have interaction with the water. So now I'll take it to people, right? If you take it to people, somebody that's really on that level, right? You're saying that he still was going to have an interaction. No, why would you say he's not?
That's my whole model. That's like a dorech. You know, is you can treat the other things like an object or like an interaction. A real gadol who is a malamed hatzibor and truly has knowledge, he is not interacting with the tzibor. He is not. That's not an interaction with the tzibor. He is benefiting the tzibor, and he's not receiving from the tzibor. He is a totally different level. He's a totally different level. It's like Torah says, Moshe is connected the whole tzibor. They're not an interaction between Moshe and the tzibor.
So
Nature. The air is nature. He's trying to bring a marshal from nature when things interact. But that doesn't mean people are always interacting. You understand?
Okay, fine.
That's the point that I was trying to...
You mean by the elements you can make recourse to the framework of nature, and that's always...
That's right. By the elements he's making... That's right. The elements he's showing what happens naturally when things interact.
Right, but in the human realm, it's just what you are.
But in the human realm, you don't always have to be interacting. If you really are a guttel that's above the whole tzibor, you're above the whole tzibor. You're not interacting with the tzibor. In this sense. Yeah.
The idea of a kosher cane doesn't really seem to jive with the idea of a mussel. Meaning kosher cane
Okay, so let's understand. Yeah, let's understand the idea. Maybe put the kosher. So what's the idea though in the realm, in the human realm? What is the idea of the reversal? So that's what he's saying. He's saying if you're trying to set yourself up as you and the tzibor as an object, right? That's your gaiva. That's always gaiva, right? Like we're talking like Mechsikiura. You against the tzibor, right? You're greater than the tzibor. That's always the gaiva. So he's saying when there comes an interaction, then it's going to have to be that you will wind up subjugated to the tzibor. You're not just going to be, you can't be, you set yourself apart. You're going to have to remain apart. In some way, you're going to still remain apart. But instead of being higher, you're going to have to be subjugated.
How's that work?
It makes perfect sense because you are setting yourself apart. The tzibor is not, you already made that chiluk. Now it's just a question of your place. The tzibor will decide your place. But you already set yourself apart.
Can you put it in terms of what's when we're talking about the elements, like the exchange?
It's a little different. Because so you're not morphing into them. Okay. But the interaction is that you are essentially like them on a philosophical and in terms of your midos, in terms of your ideas, you're essentially like them, so you are interacting. But yet, that's where he's saying this idea of you. Saying, and yet, you're setting yourself higher than them. Now he's saying, now in nature, when a truly higher element interacts with a lower element, there is a commingling. Right? Which results in the higher element being lowered.
Right.
That's even though the higher element really has a higher quality. Now he's saying, but you are just setting yourself up as a higher element, and you don't have any of those higher qualities, and yet you're interacting, then there's nothing to even make any havamina that you should stay up. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
But you set yourself apart.
Oh, okay.
And now you have to interact as a separate entity, and the tzibor will trample you.
I understand my question.
You understand your question? Well, that's a good start.
Okay, fine, no. This is what I was trying to say before.
Yeah.
That the air, which is a truly refined element, why?
I hope you were listening to what I was saying.
I was. Okay. Right? Why does it interact with the? Just like, why does it interact with the water? If it's really in that, if
to
it's
teach
really,
us this idea.
No, because I'm saying, because if it's a, in terms of people, if it's a truly
right, because nature,
on this level,
that's the way.
Then he wouldn't interact with the water, with right. With.
You know, the truth is, to tell you the truth, the air that we see is not pure air.
We don't see
it. If you were underwater, you would see it. But the air is not
pure. If it was pure air, we would see it.
It's not pure air. It's not pure air.
No, but you're using refined in two different ways.
Not the pure element of air. Right? Am I right?
What is the
biologically?
No, it doesn't exist. No, in their science. In their science, there were four pure elements. None of them exist purely. As far as I understand, they have some slight. There already is a slight interaction, and that paves the way. Had that first interaction happen, that's part of the Bria. Wow.
What do you mean that first interaction?
Of the pure elements, because they hold that the four elements were created pure, and then commingled to make all that we see in nature.
But we know that's not true, right?
But we're working with this mushroom over here.
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
No, we're working with the marshal. And he's asking me.
Expand your mind. Step out of
when
the room.
Saying, like,
and he's,
the way
he's
really
asking me a kasha on the marshal. So I'm saying, in their science, the way the air interacts, and that was the first thing. He said they have a common ground.
But
if there's no common ground, they wouldn't be able to interact. Yeah.
Isn't there similar to that? In the, even though it's more refined, they're both physical.
Right.
I mean, they're in the same realm.
Right, and that was his first thing. You're right. That was the answer in the beginning, that they really were all created from one common substance yields. Right. Broken into four major families.
And in terms of people, it's a different substance.
That's right. That's right. In nature, what he talks about as man vis-a-vis the klal doesn't exist. Right? Nature is the klal. That's his whole argument. That's his whole idea. Nature is the klal. You don't have in nature something apart from the klal. Except maybe animals in terms of... No, not even that. I mean, you can't have this situation in nature. You know what I'm saying? You don't have that situation in nature. But in human interactions, you do. You can have one guy who's on a completely different madriga, not even in the same class as the other people. Like Ram says, you know, certain classes of people. One class is so small, it's like the sun. It only includes one entity. Yeah. So I think that's what he's saying over here. So he's saying that's why it's going to have to happen. That's why it's going to have to happen. Because the ikkar is that it's an interaction. The guy is trying to set himself up apart, which would be good if he were really separate. But once he's not, it must be an interaction, and that's the whole idea from nature. You see, in the interactions, the lower one is victorious over the higher one. And it's subjugated to it. It's subjugated to it. I mean, no doubt you can go into it more and explain it further, yeah.
What was the idea you were saying about when the person who's setting themselves up doesn't have the refinement, they would go even lower? Is there an elemental example of that? Because I don't
no.
see that.
No, that's the Kal Vachomer. He's saying, in nature, when there's an interaction, the higher one has a real thing. Right. The higher element, although it's losing substance, it does have something better. And yet, that's not going to save it from being lowered. Right?
He's saying it's going to go...
So, too... No, not going to go... But he's saying, Kol Shekein, if a guy sits himself up higher and doesn't have anything, so then he's certainly... He doesn't say he's going to have to go lower, but he says he certainly is going to go down.
Certainly is going to go down.
Okay, right? Okay. Kol Shekein is going to go down.
Right.
He doesn't even have...
In a mushroom. That doesn't make sense, because a mushroom is like an idea.
What? No, the idea is... The idea is like this. The idea is like this. The idea is like this.
I understand what that is. Okay, so what's the idea?
The Kol Shekein is like this.
That was easy.
Maybe I don't understand.
You know, he's saying that the mashal is not really the same as the nimshal. Because there's something in the mashal that's better than the nimshal. Now, is the mashal at least has the fact that the higher element truly is higher, and yet it goes down. And in our case that we're comparing it to doesn't even have that redeeming quality. So then it will certainly. Now he's saying it's a mashal. It's like a super mashal. You know what I'm saying? It's not.
I understand
even,
what you're saying. I'm just.
It's a per, it's saying it's not. It's not an exact mashal, because the if it were an exact mashal, the guy would really. It can't be an exact mashal because he would really have something and that whole would throw the whole mashal off. But he's saying it's in the mashal. The mashal just shows you that even things that are higher, in a true sense, and interact are lowered, right? But in our case, the guy doesn't really have anything truly higher. So if I wanted to argue from the mashal, it's a kol shekain argument, right? The argument from the mashal is a kol shekain. It has the formula, the format of a kol shekain. Because the mashal has a redeeming quality. Yes.
It isn't one degree. He's not saying like I'll prove, like I'll show you, I'll prove to you from nature that this is the way it's going to be. He's saying there's an idea in the way it's going to work, and that idea is reflected.
Correct. And it's reflected stronger in the over here than it's reflected in nature. Right? But it's a true idea of interaction, he's saying. It is a true idea of interaction. But it's interesting thing because his first argument is what? So then he reviews it. He goes like this: shever gaon. That's why it says before the downfall is haughtiness. Interesting. So he's trying to explain why is it? I think he's trying to explain these two different things because the. Pasuk in Mishlei just says lifnei shever gaon, just a descriptive fact. Before the guy's downfall is always his haughtiness, but then Chazal say if you make yourself great, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mashpilo, right? So that's what he says. It's two things. Shekein roi b'mishpatei Hashem. That's what they're expressing. That's what Chazal are expressing. That it's proper in the laws of Hashem. That this should happen, and but the pasuk is just saying lifnei shever gaon. It's a matter of fact. V'sheteva kein chayv, v'teva hayitzira kein chayv. That's the two expressions. Lifnei shever gaon, he's saying, is the natural idea, but it's also in line with God's justice. It's also in line with justice. That's a certain nifla. I mean that the nature works out according to the way justice should.
Isn't the whole concept of justice that everything should be in its proper place? So,
is justice that everything should be in its proper place? That's a very simple definition of justice.
And Plato's definition is that everyone's doing the job that he's supposed to be doing. So. I'm saying, what idea of justice are they getting at here?
Oh, he said before. He said that, he says, it's mida k'neged mida. Acha shebikesh lehizromem yoser minai roi lo roi shetichna v'tishofel madregaso. That's, he's saying, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midos. That if you try to get to make yourself greater, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah k'neged. That's what he's saying. Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is midah k'neged midah. And the nature is made, the nature also reflects that idea. In nature, it comes out, and it's also, in other words, the philosophers sometimes say, why is the thing so? And there are two answers to why the thing is so. That's what we discussed at the end of last year. Plato's approach, Socrates' approach to science. Were you there, John? Was the Socrates approach to science? Is that the true cause of a thing, when you talk about the cause of the thing, there are two senses that you mean. One is its condition, the condition that allowed it to occur, and the other is why it should occur. Okay? So, for instance, I'm being a little vague, but I don't have a choice. Maybe we can talk about it another time. But he's saying, like, over here, there's two things. There's the condition. What is it that sets it up that this happens? That's the condition of interaction. Interaction is the condition that causes the downfall. But also, you can also say, why does it happen? Because it's right. That's what Socrates says. He was looking for a science that didn't just tell you why things occur causally in terms of the most proximate cause that A knocked into B, but why it expresses an idea of goodness in the universe.
And that's what he held was speculative, or that's what he...
That's what he held, that it should, that science, the real idea of science is. And all of these things, he gave the... I'll just give you a quick marshal. Quick marshal was...
Is that what we call philosophy?
That's why he went. That's why he gave up the study of natural science, because he said they're not going anywhere. They're just wasting their time. They're not really getting down to the true cause. Like, for instance, just say this quickly, and most of you won't understand it. But think about it. For instance, you say like this: What makes a face beautiful? What makes somebody's face beautiful? Let's say. So you ask a scientist, what will he say? He'll say, well, there's a ratio between the size of the head and the size of the features and the proportions and their positions, and that shouldn't be perfectly symmetrical, it should be slightly off. Go the whole thing and explain to you all the causes of what would make you say somebody's face is beautiful, right? And what would Socrates say, Matt?
The idea of beauty.
It's the idea of beauty that makes the face beautiful. Beauty makes it beautiful.
Those
meaning to say, without man's beautiful concept of beauty, there is no such thing as beauty in the face. The true source of the beauty is that the person's face is partaking of an idea of beauty that I have ingrained, born in my soul.
Right. And the symmetry and stuff just facilitates.
And the symmetry and all those things are just the conditions that allow that idea of beauty to be expressed.
Tallness is another example.
Tall is too confusing. Nobody's going to understand tall. Okay? Okay. But, yeah. So that's what he's saying over here, too. He's saying, what makes it true? He's saying two sibos. One is that it should be true. That's the real cause. Mida kenegi mida. And secondly, there's a condition in nature that allows it to happen. Two different types of causes. Okay? Now.
Now I'm ready.
Did say we're going to get the masturbations, right? Okay, so now it's like this. Vim kain, eifo eza miflat lanu bazeh. So how can we escape this, he's saying. How can we escape? He wants to discuss masturbations, but he's saying, how can we escape it? Because if we talk about it, we're over the injunctive not to study masturbations among more than two. And if we don't know what we're saying, we're just condemning ourselves to a mighty fall. No, he's not against a guy trying to work out masturbations on his own, so if he's wrong, he's wrong. Okay, he'll work on it. But you can't set yourself up as an authority and discuss masturbations.
How is he so sure that he could? I mean, you already had an answer to this question?
Of course. Well, he didn't discuss it yet. He didn't start it yet. He didn't start really. Oh, you mean with the others? With the thing? Okay, let's see. Can you read now? Can somebody read now? Vatshuva bizarre? Vatshuva?
Vatshuva.
Are we up to that yet?
Yeah.
Okay,
Shechiyano. Go ahead.
Chomash she'anu medabim v'vase breshis. Chomash she'hevinu bo chachamim kulam. Im lo b'shecha eloki. Eino b'michlal ma'ase breshis she'chivu razal yodav l'hastiru l'ha'alima.
That's it. So everything that we talk about when we say Maisa Bracious, and everything we understand from all the Chachamim, if it's not from Nevuah basically, that's not part of Maisa Bracious.
So what do we have to worry about?
There's nothing to worry about.
Well, with a definition like that, how can you lose?
Go ahead.
Fine, okay.
in Cain,
you gotta explain what he means, the things that you have to avoid, right?
Ask him how somebody could teach it if he. What's his example of the person who doesn't know what he's talking about but teaches it anyway?
Make it up.
And he's saying, he's basically saying it's possible. It's impossible to do that.
Well, that's what he's saying. He's saying it's impossible to teach Maizu Brachos. That was the question. How can we talk about Maizu Brachos? Because if I know it, I'm over this statement. I'm over the Isser. And if I don't know it, then I'm just setting myself up to be to be destroyed. So now he's going to say, I can do it because I can know sign. And now he's going to say, that I can talk about, I can darshan Parshas Brachos. And not worry about being about this dilemma of talking about Maizu Brachos, because if I give a shot in Parshas Brachos about the Big Bang, that's not Maizu Brachos, so I have no problem. That's not there's Maizu Brachos and there's capital Mem capital Beis. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
What's
the
Isser
for them? I don't understand.
He's going to try to explain that. That's what he's
going to
try to explain.
Vim Kain Chazar Dibrino Bezekhi Yeser Hadrushim Beisha Hasuna Lutiyotze.
So it says, now it just turns out we're just darshaning over here. Just regular darshaning.
Okay. Omnam Inyan Maizu Brachos Mahu.
So what is it? Now he's saying, look, I'm going to give everybody a big heter. Everybody can now darshan Parshas Brachos. Don't worry about it. You can try to think about how did the moon come, where did the stars come from. You can work it all out. Don't worry about it. You can rely on Divrei Chachamim. Don't worry that you're violating anything.
This still is not.
Of course, you have to know what you're talking about. But
this is aside from the issue of like Kolmis Taka Barba Divine. That's right.
I mean, what
he's not saying. He's not saying this.
You're not saying there other aren't other, but he's saying the Isser of Maizu Brachos. So then what is it? So what is Maizu Brachos? Now he's saying all scientific knowledge we know about creation is not Maizu Brachos. So what is Maizu Brachos?
So he says that's Tzorech Biur Rachav.
That's it. We don't have time for Biur Rachav. Go ahead, right, let's see if we can finish over here.
Hinei HaRamam Zohar, Mersha Maizu Brachos, Hi Chachmas HaTeva. Okay? V'yesh B'zeh Stiros Gedolos.
All right, so this is a problem. The Ram says it means nature. But that's a big problem.
Right.
Why? So there should be a lot of hidden things in this. But there's nothing in what we know about the elements and the combinations and anything that comes out of that would require us to hide.
He's just saying based on just... Like, meaning there's nothing that's harmful about the
what
of
kind
water
of,
element and...
Yeah,
and
why should you... You're saying, why should you hide any of this information? Go ahead. He's very good at presenting an argument. Go ahead. He really takes every angle. Go ahead.
Right, so we need another boundary.
Right.
So we need another boundary. Right. Right. Shehari yadu shachachmas harufuah v'chachmas halvodas ha'adama v'hamireh nimshachus mechachmas ha'teva.
Yes, he's saying that what? That we have to know. We'd have to know exactly where to draw the line.
Because
there definitely are things that you have to know. There definitely are things you have to explain, that you can't hide. If you're gonna say it's just nature, so now how do you know what to hide and what not to hide?
Right.
He says, for instance, everybody should make a well-known medicine. Medicine should be as widely known as possible. And agriculture. And husbandry. Right? And those all come from Chachmas HaTeva. The words doesn't get used all right. Yeah, go ahead. Those all come from Chachmas HaTeva. Turns out that the farmers are the biggest darshanim in Maizu Brachos.
V'gam kein lo nuchal lomer shemaizu brachos lo sihei chachmas hateva shehari maizu brachos nosad kulo ba'olam hatachton lo be'elyon.
And also, you can't say that Maizu Brachos doesn't include nature, right? He says because that is the whole Maizu Brachos in this world. It's not metaphysics. Right. It must be physics, right. Not metaphysics, because metaphysics is Maizu Merkava. Good.
V'im lo yihye maseh b'reishis yidiyas tava'av v'inyanav, im lo eifo mahu.
Like that word, yeah.
Yeah. Zehu im kein davar mechadesh mevucha v'tzarech b'yar.
Big problem. That's how you get the big problem. So what is maseh b'reishis? You're going to say it's nature? Nature? So then how do you know what to hide and what not to hide? Don't tell people medicines? Don't tell people how to farm land? Noach was a big chacham in agriculture. So then you can say, so it's not nature. It's not physics. It's metaphysics. Metaphysics might as well recover. So what is it? Where to go? Okay.
Okay.